boosted by a fresh dose of resurrection hope coming out of Easter Sunday. We are talking about death on the podcast this week. We are free to speak openly about dying in hopeful ways that the world cannot speak of. Free to say that what is sown into the soil does not come to life unless it dies. In that resurrection hope, we started the week with the story of V. Raymond Edmon, a preacher who died in the pulpit, an event from Pastor John's very formative years at Wheaton College, and one he almost never talks about, but he did on Monday. And today we read about death in the Navigator's Bible reading plan. It comes up in the context of Paul talking about division and jealousy in the church, in Paul's words, in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 23. And there, Paul gives us this amazing motivation for not getting jealous in this life. And that motive is the gift of death. He says, death is ours. And that leads to many emails over the years asking what in the world Paul means here, that death is a gift to us, specifically here in 1 Corinthians 3:22. How, Pastor John, would you explain the divine gift of death here in this context?
Well, I love this text. 1 Corinthians 3:21 to 23. I mean, it's, Tony, it's very hard for me to talk about this without raising my voice with exuberance. And I will try to restrain myself, but hundreds of realities are thrilling in the Bible. This one is off the charts, unspeakably amazing. Huh. So let me read it for our friends so they know what we're talking about. Let no one boast in men. This is 1 Corinthians 3:21 to 23. Let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. So Paul is trying to get the Corinthians to stop boasting in human beings. That's the agenda. Back in chapter 1, verse 11, they were saying, I belong to Paul. I belong to Apollos. I belong to Cephas. In other words, they were exalting themselves over others by borrowing significance from their favorite teacher or orator or intellectual, claiming to be superior to others because they were in the Paul group or the Apollos group or the Cephas group. And basically, Paul says in chapter 3, verse 21, you're insane. You're crazy for thinking like that. Why are you crazy? And he gives them the reason. Let no one boast in men. And here comes the reason. Because all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, everything is yours. So Paul exposes the craziness of the Corinthian boasting by turning their words upside down. They were saying, I belong to Paul. I belong to Apollos. I belong to Cephas. And Paul says, no, they belong to you, you idiots. All things are yours. Paul is yours. Apollos is yours. Cephas belongs to you. And by the way, so does the world and life and death. All things are yours, you crazy Corinthians. Come on, wake up to who you are. You belong to Christ. You are fellow heirs with Christ, and he is the heir of God, and God owns everything. Get it? Come on. So stop acting like idiots, Corinthians. Stop trying to prop up your significance in this world by boasting in your favorite teacher. You own everything. The poorest Christian among you, the poorest Christian on this planet, is richer than the richest unbeliever. Specifically then, what does it mean that death is yours, along with everything else? You own death. It's your possession. It doesn't possess you. You possess it. What does that mean? Now, I'll give you my understanding of that statement, and then I'll take you to several passages of Scripture that support this understanding. When Paul says death is yours, he means death is your servant, not your master, your servant. It does for you what you need to have done. If I say the food in my refrigerator is my food, it's mine, I mean I can eat it without stealing, and it serves me, it strengthens me to do what I need to do. If I say this car is my car, I mean it serves me, I use it. It doesn't use me, I use it. It gets me where I want to go. So I'm saying Paul means Paul is your servant. In fact, he says that earlier in chapter 3. Paul is your servant. Apollos is your servant. Cephas is your servant. The world is your servant. Life and death are your servants. You don't serve them. They serve you. You don't exist for their benefit. They exist for your benefit. In the end, they will do for you exactly what you need to have done. Death will do for you what you need done. Now, here are some biblical pointers to that understanding. Psalm 119, verse 90. Your faithfulness, O God, endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment, they stand this day, because all things are your servants. Everything in the universe serves the purposes of God. Everything. There are, as R.C. Sproul used to say, no maverick molecules. Every bird that falls, every hair that turns white is of God. Everything serves the purposes of God. We are God's children, and it would make no sense if God said, well, all things serve me, but when it comes to my children, I just have no idea how to make all things serve them. That is crazy. It's not only crazy, it's blasphemous. If all things serve our omnipotent, all-wise, all-caring Father, then all things serve us. Which brings me then to Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all things, including death, work together for our good. For the good of those who are called according to his purpose. In other words, all things, including death, serve the children of God, serve their good, do for us what we need to have done. Then Paul lists all the things that might separate us from the love of Christ. And included in that list is danger and sword, which means danger and death. We use swords to chop off people's heads in those days. And we know that because in the next verse, Romans 8:36, it says, we are being killed all day long. Christians are dying for their faith every day, even today. Somewhere in the world, some Christian's life is being threatened for his faith. And Paul says, death is yours. It serves you. How does he say that right here in verse 37? This is the really amazing part. He doesn't just say death cannot separate us from the love of Christ. He says that. That's not all he says. He says no. There's a big no in all these things, not in spite of them, but in all these things, including death, danger, sword, peril, famine, nakedness, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. He could translate it super conquerors. So, if death takes your life, which he says it does in verse 36, how are you in that moment when death has taken your life more than a conqueror? How does it serve you? You're not just a conqueror, or it doesn't just lie there conquered at your feet. It is more than a conqueror. It gets up. Death gets up. After you've slain death, it gets up and serves you. Death does what you need doing and takes you where you need going. So if we really believed, oh God, help us. Every time I work on this text, I just shake my head and think, how in the world can this text go out of my head? How can I not live in the light of this text? And it happens. It's just a horrible thing how it happens to us Christians. This text just goes out of our head. If we really believe this text, what the Bible says about us in 1 Corinthians 3:21-23, namely that all things are ours, including the finest intellects on the planet and the best orators and the richest people and life and death and the world and the present and the future, if we really believed these things are our servants, two powers would be dethroned in our lives. One, we would no longer desperately try to find our significance in this world by being superior to others or by lining up with people who are superior. We would see that as insane. And secondly, we would stop fearing death. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? It's gone. It's not only gone, it comes back around and becomes our servant.
Amen, Pastor John. Super conquerors. This text of 1 Corinthians 3:21-23 is truly off the charts, unspeakably amazing. Amen. And is one of those super applicable texts to dozens of life situations. It comes up in some of the most profound places in the podcast, which you can see in the new APJ book, if you have a copy of that book handy, like in, you know, why we don't need to puff ourselves up with gossip and compulsive lying. You can see that on page 140, the text comes up. And then it comes up with poverty. So you just heard that the poorest Christian on this planet is richer than the richest unbeliever. Incredible point, and it's made from this text, and it comes up just about every time Pastor John has ever addressed things like money and shopping and the prosperity gospel. And if you want to see just how applicable this glorious text is to finances, see the book on pages 95-121. Thanks for joining us today. If you have a question to ask Pastor John, email me, askpastorjohn@desiringgod.org. Speaking of the practicalities of life, we are back into them next time. Why do we abuse caffeine? We can, and we do, but why? Pastor John will explain why we do it next time. I'm your host, Tony Reinke. See you Monday.